Welcome to Unity Fort Worth Online. We are a spiritual center of love and wisdom, affirming God's presence in our lives and reaching the larger community in ever-increasing circles of good.
Thank you so much. Beautiful song, beautiful sentiments, very unity, isn't it? And so apropos right now and beautifully rendered there, so very uplifting, moving. And we're talking about going to headquarters. Charles Fillmore, he said, when I'm in difficulty, I go to headquarters. And headquarters is always within us, isn't it? It's to that highest place within us. But we also need way showers to point us to that highest place. And some of the greatest way showers of our planet, of course, are Jesus and the Buddha. If there's any one personage in the West that would be enshrined as the way into this spiritual awareness, it would be Jesus. And then if you go to the East, it would be the Buddha. What's interesting today in our present current state of the world's unfoldment is that both are coming together, right? We are teaching both messages now, whereas a couple of hundred years ago, wouldn't have known anything about the Buddha. Nothing at all. And yet now it's on every corner. We have a yoga studio. We have teachings from the Tibetans. Because they've been kicked out by the Chinese, they brought their wonderful teachings to the West, which is great, which is wonderful. And talking about that, what do you think of that poem we did for the prayer? Okay with that?
Yeah.
It's beautiful, isn't it? But I think it's a little scary because it's like saying, well, let go, don't worry. You know, let go, don't worry. You're kidding me? What would be left of me if I let go and stop worrying? You know, so often the ego tells us we got to hold on, and this is America anyway, isn't it? It's the can-do society, right? I've got to take charge of everything, not just let go and surrender. It's a must-do society, whereas the spiritual teachings are must-don't, you know? Just don't do it. Just relax. Because what it's not saying don't act. It's saying don't act from that limited perspective of our ego, right? Limited perspective of the control that we're trying to foist on everything. It's saying go to that inner knowledge within your own being and that Christ consciousness taught by Jesus and the Buddha. And then when you're in that awareness, relax and flow. Find the spaciousness, the joy, the openness of God's presence, and then act from that. If the Jesus and the Buddha taught anything, they taught wisdom and love. That's the key teachings. And when you put wisdom and love together, because wisdom, you know, you can have the wisdom of the mind and the openness of the heart, but when you bring heart and mind together, there's a third one that comes into being. What is that third thing? You've done it in your own life. When you bring wisdom and love together, then you know how to. You know how to live. You know how to live wisely, right? And that's the Trinity. That's the Trinity in action. The Holy Spirit is simply how to live wisely. How do you live wisely? You marry love and wisdom together in your own consciousness, yeah? And so you create that beautiful Trinity. In the Buddhist terminology, it's the Buddha, the Dharma and the Sangha, right? The teacher, the teaching, and then the group of people who come together. Each one is necessary, isn't it? If you had the Buddha and you never taught, what good would it be? Not much. He had to teach. That was part of the transaction here. But it wouldn't have been any good unless there was somebody to be receptive to that teaching. So all parts of this are necessary. And of course, they're not just outside of ourselves, they're in our own being, right? I have to go to my inner teacher, the Christ presence. I have to listen to what it says, the wisdom that it has. But then, if I don't do anything about it, I'm wasted. I've got to put it into practice in my life. So we got Jesus, we got the teachings, the gospel, and then we have the community. Now, the community, the church, is it a place? No, it is never a place. It is a consciousness of like-minded people coming together, right? This is why it's so important for us to gather, isn't it? To support each other, to listen to these messages of possibility and wonder and joy. We love trinities. Everything's a trinity, spirit, soul, and body, spirit, mind, and body. Which one fits what? Which is the body? in terms of Dharma, of Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha? Which one's the body? I mean, we are the body, aren't we? We're the body of Christ, right? Hold on, I'm just going to rest for a minute and we'll come back and... Yeah, we're in a different zone now. It's okay, we can rest, it's fine. I don't have to... The poem told me, don't do anything. Just relax. Feels good. Let's move on to the actual quotes. That's what I'm going to go straight to the quotes. I have some teaching points here from both Jesus, Jesus and the Buddha. And note how the similarities, because they went to the same school, obviously, you know. And the wisdom school, not in the Himalayas, but the wisdom school within us. Ricky Gervais, you know him? He was on TV, and he's an avowed atheist. And nothing wrong with that, because, you know, if you think of God as like being on a cloud, I'm an atheist too, because I don't believe in that. But I do believe in a presence. But he was saying very skillfully, actually, very intelligently, he said that to him, science is his God, if you like. That makes sense for him, because it follows rules, etc. And whereas believing in God relies on blind faith, and he'd rather believe in some principles. And I would too, so I'm with him on that. But he said this interesting thing. He said, you know, if all the religion, all the science books were destroyed, within 500 years, they'd all be back again, because they're based on laws and principles that we will discover. But he said, if all the religious books were destroyed, they'd never come back again, because they were of their time. They were of the human mind. And I thought, that's a compelling argument. But then I thought, I don't believe it, because they come from the same place, don't they? The wisdom of the universe is not just in science, it is in every endeavor. So yes, if all the science books were destroyed, we would discover it again through our connection to the universal whole, yes? But in the same way, the wisdom books would be replaced too, because they come from the same source, the understanding of the essential nature of wisdom and love within everything. Now my hope is when the wisdom books are recreated, less smiting. We talked about this last week. Too much smiting in the old religious books. Less smiting, more loving. That's my hope. So let's jump in. First reading is from the teachings of Jesus and then the Buddha. So Jesus said, "Do to others as you would have them do to you." Of course, we know this. It is the golden rule, isn't it? And the Buddha said, consider others as yourself. Same thing. Now, why do we follow this? Why is it golden? Why is it a golden rule? It covers everything. Is it a good rule? And why? Okay, so it's an extension of love. But it's also very practical, isn't it? If I scratch your back, I hope that you're going to scratch mine, right? So it's mutual self-interest, right? Enlightened self-interest. So even at its lowest level, it works. What I want something from you, but I'm willing in the transaction, I'm willing to give back also. At its higher level, when I realize I am a being of love, I don't need it back, because the reward is simply to remember who I am, right? So it works on all levels of unfoldment. But it works according to the great law, doesn't it? Of karma, of what goes around comes around. So do unto others as you would have them do to you. That would stop most of the silly nonsense that goes on, if you think about it. Because would you like to be treated like you treat some people sometimes? No. And we do it so unconsciously that we think we're right, because we're in that righteous mind, right? So what does it do when you can actually practice the golden rule? What does it do to you? What's happening inside your own being when you can practice this? It's what? Brings it up from a lower level of heaviness to more buoyancy and lightness, right? It rises you. You feel more spacious, right? You're into that place that the poem was talking about. Anything else? You feel connected, okay, because we're all in this together, right? We're interdependent here. Even the people I really dislike, are you willing to scratch their backs? Think about it. Yeah, when you're really raised up, you can scratch strange backs, can't you? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, think about it. Visualize that one, okay? All right, next one. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And that's a tough teaching, isn't it, when you look at it literally, because it sounds like very anti-American, you know, because we're supposed to take care of business and all that. The idea, if anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. What is it about? What's it saying then? Because what's the other alternative? If somebody strikes you on the cheek, offer them a fist, strike back, right? What have you done in that moment? Number one, escalated it. Number two, continued it, given away your power, because you've given them a huge amount of power because they've invoked anger in you. This teaching is saying stay centered. You don't have to give away your power, right? It's your choice. And to turn the other cheek is to remain centered in that expansive view that enables us to be free. What did the Buddha say? If anyone should give you a blow with his hand, with a stick, or with a knife. Wow, he upped the ante, didn't he? We're in a knife fight now with the Buddha. You should abandon any desires and utter no evil words. In other words, don't give your power away, right? So easy to do this when we react to all the things that are happening in our world, right? We're giving power away when we are resistive, when we're offering the fist instead of the open hand. It takes work, though, doesn't it, to remember to release. By the way, if any of you want, a number of people after the 9:30 said they wanted to get hold of that poem that I read, which talks about releasing the fist. If you'd like, I'll put it on Facebook and on our website as well, so it'll be up in the next day or so. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. From anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you, and if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. You kidding me? My door is locked. Nobody's taking my stuff. Obviously, it was not meant to be interpreted purely literally. It's a larger meaning, isn't it? So what is the larger meaning there? You know, not give away everything you got, but don't be attached to it. Know that that's not the source of your good. Yes? What's that? We got chickens in you now. Sounded like chickens. All right. They've come home to roost, haven't they? Yeah. Oh, yeah. I knew it was going to happen one day. Here we go. All right. So what's it saying then? Johnny Depp, that's what it's saying. My favorite celebrity. I just read this week that Johnny Depp spends $2 million a month, right? That's how, because he has to maintain a certain lifestyle if you're Johnny Depp. So $2 million a month. And I was talking with someone about it, and they said, wow, I wish I had that kind of money. Well, I don't, because it must be miserable, number one, to have to maintain all that level. But even more than that, it's not about how much money you've got, right? It's about the availability of the flow of good when you need it. And this is huge, because once we put all our treasure and all our value in the money or in the clothes or all the things we have, then that becomes our God, right? That becomes our source of security. What Jesus is saying, don't put all your effort and energy and focus into those things, right? Your focus is in a higher reality. This is the true sustaining power. So I don't want all that money. Charles Fulmer himself said, don't accumulate large amounts of money. Just have money available when you need it. You know, be in the flow of God's good that it appears when you need it. And it will if you're living the centered life. So true. You know, this is the key behind tithing, actually. Because before I tithed, years and years ago, I couldn't understand. I thought it was stupid to give money away, especially to something when I wasn't getting anything back. Then I realized, not tangible back, you know? So then I realized it's not about what I'm giving it to. It's my attitude. It's my transaction with the divine, that I am in the flow of God's good, and I choose to do this. And it's not a compunction for anybody else to do it, but I choose to do this. And I know a lot of people who do it can't conceive of it any other way because they've taken their focus off the things and placed it on this invisible substance of supply, which is God. And you can never outgive God. What did the Buddha say? Hatreds do not cease in this world by hating, but by love. This is an eternal truth. Overcome anger by love, overcome evil by good, overcome the miser in yourself by giving, overcome the liar by truth. In other words, stay centered in the realities rather than the appearances, right? How much did Jesus have? How much wealth? Not a lot, right? In fact, he carried no money. Judas was the one that carried all the money. Thank you, Jesus. But he took care of the money. But they, you know, he had enough when he needed it, but he wasn't dependent upon it. A couple more. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And the Buddha said, just as a mother would protect her only child at the risk of her own life, even so, cultivate a boundless heart towards all beings. Let your thoughts of boundless love pervade the whole world. Do you see any commonality here between these two? Like I said, they went to the same school, didn't they? The universal school of wisdom and truth, right? And love. What are they calling us to do? What's the essence of this? All these sayings are very similar in one regard. What are they saying? Yeah, love, but take it a little more than that, because I know that the key is love. The key is to have that wisdom heart, that open heart. All right, love it all because it's all connected. Don't squeeze things out because you think that that doesn't belong in my good little world, right? It's all good. There's all possibility within everything, right? Embrace it. It's scratching that strange back again. Trust, okay. Yes. There we go. Just take a load off, right? Know that all is well. In that expansive view, all is well. Yeah.
It's all part of one consciousness. When we each contribute, we make those choices. We raise the consciousness of the entire human race.
Amen. Yeah. And that's what we're about, isn't it? Comes back to Chuck's point there, rising up. There's some key here that's the teaching of Jesus and the Buddha, is raising ourselves up from a low level of awareness to this higher level. And when we come up higher, we're lighter, we're more buoyant, right? There's more availability, it's more spacious. We're not settling for the cage anymore, we have the sky. And the sky is beautiful, right? It's full of infinite possibility. Amazing things come out of the sky. You're going to laugh at this, but the other day we were taking a hot tub in the afternoon, and we heard the mewing of the hawks in the sky, and they were really excited. You could tell they were excited. And then the first hawk came around, and they're so beautiful the way they curve around, and sat on the branch. And then the second hawk came in a little bit later, and sat real close to the other hawk, if you know what I'm saying. It's this time of year, you know, where the birds and the bees are doing their thing. They were making love. They were bringing new hawks into the world. But it was wonderful because I thought, wow, we just noticed this. If we'd come out a few minutes after or a few minutes before, we wouldn't have seen it, you know. So it was divine order and synchronicity. But it was beautiful to me to see these amazingly beautiful birds just come out of the sky and do that beautiful act of keeping their species going and their joy, you know. They had joy. You could tell. You could tell in all the calls in the sky that they were excited about connecting. And that's what part of the Sangha. We were creating a Sangha together, a community. And I love that I can have that connection to non-human species, right? That we're all in this together, every part and parcel of us. All right, one more. Your Father in heaven makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. Meaning, we're all in this together, right? And the Buddha said this, the great cloud rains down on all, whether their nature is superior or inferior. The light of the sun and the moon illuminates the whole world, both him who does well and him who does ill, both him who stands high and him who stands low. Almost identical teachings, aren't they? So what are we going to take with us from this little discussion? Because we go on, there's millions of sayings here that are very similar. This is a book called Jesus and Buddha, The Parallel Sayings. Fascinating stuff. One thing that we can take, though, what are you going to take from today to get you through all the craziness of Super Bowl and beyond into the week? You're going to practice the golden rule, all right? You're going to scratch somebody's back, aren't you, this week? All right. Yes, all right. Overcome love. What? Yeah, okay. Let's put it the right way around, yeah. Okay, overcome hate with love at all costs. Good. Yeah. Amen, because that's the connection, isn't it? That's the heart connection. Remember the Trinity again. The teaching, the wisdom teaching, is taught by the author, which is the Christ presence, whose nature is love. So when wisdom and love come together, they form an energy that goes forth to act. So that's the third part of it, is putting into practice the truth that we know this week, right? So even if you have only a glimpse of truth, put it into practice, it will lead to greater and greater things. Amen. So we begin to deepen our awareness by dropping down into meditation. It's something we can do any moment, any day, any time. To become aware of the only moment that exists in truth, the present moment. In that moment between past and future, between then and what may be, is the only true reality. This is where God is, where God's spaciousness and fullness are available to us. In an awakening moment, wherever we go, whatever we do, we always have that moment with us. We can expand into it It is infinite. It is wise. It is loving. And it can inform us so that whatever we have to do, we do it with wisdom and with love. So let's drop down now into the silence and experience that moment, the infinite presence. Next moment, here and now, in the silence. So we give thanks for this beautiful awareness of peace, peace that descends upon us and rises from within us to meet at that beautiful center of stillness, possibility, joy at the heart of who we are. We give thanks for the teachings and the message of the Buddha and of Jesus the Christ, helping us to remember the Buddha nature and the Christ consciousness at the heart of us. Really different names for the same thing, our oneness, our wholeness, our beauty, and our possibility. May we go forth renewed and revitalized, able to live wisely and well for the benefit of all. Thank you, God.
Thanks for listening. This ministry is funded through the generous contributions of individuals just like you. If you have found spiritual enrichment here, please visit us online at unityfortworth.org and make a donation. We sincerely thank you for your contribution, and we affirm with you, divine love through me blesses and multiplies all that I have, all that I give, and all that I receive, and I am grateful.